There is a friend of the congregation. She actually is a woman bent double. She appears once a year at church here on Good Friday. Otherwise, we never see her. Or at least I don't think that we do. As it happens, about a month ago, Valerie and I were taking dinner at an Italian restaurant down on Watson Road called Brazzi's. And sitting behind us at a table, kind of next to us, was, we thought, this woman bent double. Now Valerie said to me, "Why don't you go over and say hello?" I said, "Well, maybe she doesn't really want any company. Well, maybe she doesn't want to talk to me." Fine, yeah, I went over. "Hello, do you sometimes attend Bethel Church?" Yes, indeed, it was her. I'll call her Angela, not her real name, but that's good for today. She says, "Are you Pastor Yancey?" I said, "Yes." We had a great little conversation. That was very interesting, but it's not why I tell you the story. When it came time for her to leave after she'd finished supper, it was very interesting. The restaurant staff gathered around her, took responsibility to help take her home. A woman who was by herself, bent double, obviously couldn't drive, needed help, needed somebody to, in a sense, lay their hands upon her, look at her as a real, full-fledged human person. A few days later, curiously, we were taking dinner at another Italian restaurant. My favorite. It was my birthday. That's why we would go twice. Trattoria Marsala. Great place. Also on Watson Road. So, we're sitting down in the booth and having a celebrative adult beverage. Well, I look a few tables away, and who do I see? Angela, taking dinner again by herself. Now, this time, Valerie didn't have to give me the labusta to go on over and talk to her. So I went over and greeted her, and I said, "You probably think we're dogging you, because when you show up at a restaurant, we show up as well." We had a delightful little conversation. And then, sure enough, when she was done, the trattoria staff folks came over, helped her get her stuff together, bundled her up, and took her home. Remarkable. Did they really have to do that? Or did they see her humanity? Did they see past her disability? Did they see her as a child of God, if you will? In this morning's story, a woman, bent double, appears in the synagogue. Jesus seems to be the only one who sees her, or at least who pays attention to her. For she truly also is a child of God's creating. She seemed to be invisible to others and had been that way for ages. It says 18 years, but it's likely that's kind of a symbolic number. 8 is often used for kind of the whole deal. We say the whole 9 yards. They used to say the whole 8. It's as if she were invisible in perpetuity. Seeing her in her humanity was already the beginning of a miracle. And perhaps that was miracle enough. That human encounter, which was divine in its care. Jesus' touch of an unclean woman, which in itself was forbidden. His touch with his hands of a woman who was set apart as unclean and cast into invisibility because of her condition is now set free and returned to the community of faith, of God, of life. Jesus' touch, his attention, his miracle gave her life. The realm of God, which Jesus announces, is like that. The realm of God, which Jesus brings. And let's be clear. Had this woman not stood up straight, she still would have been transformed, restored to dignity of welcome into the community's care, into God's care, into fellowship with Jesus the Christ. For the rules had not only ruled her out on the Sabbath, but she had been a completely unacceptable person, a sinner for 18 years, really, the whole of her life. But as I kind of forecast, Jesus' opponents at this action, at this giving of life, of dignity, of goodness, they are indignant. They are indignant over dignity conferred to another. Now, it's not simply that Jesus' opponents insist on an orderly society, which might just cause a challenge or a little inconvenience every seventh day, that this woman just showed up on the wrong day, otherwise things would be fine. No, there is an indignance that she is included at all, that Jesus has come to include all people into the realm of God, the realm that Jesus inaugurates with his word and with his mission of life. Their order, in their minds, their status, their sense of community depends upon the outsider, depends upon the outcast, depends upon a victim, the unclean, the unacceptable, or a term we use these days, the hated poor. They need themselves to be keepers of the gate. And of course, I'm saying there. Perhaps I should stop now. We say there. But Jesus put his finger on a compulsion felt over the ages in all societies. In fact, if we don't read it with a light on our own society, our own hearts, our own communities, we shouldn't be reading it at all. Indeed, how indignant we have become in our world, in our country, in our community. How angry the world appears to be. So much anger over who is acceptable and who is not. Who belongs in community and who does not. Again, we don't have to look elsewhere. We feel it in our own country. Our politics are based upon it. Perhaps we feel it in our own hearts. Now, there is an argument to be advanced. Here's my other trepidation question. That righteous or justified anger spurs us to healthy action. Indeed, Jesus does call them hypocrites. And it's interesting, you notice that it says the Lord. All other places, Jesus is referred to by his name, Jesus. There's some kind of special thing happening here in the text. But is it? Does it help to be indignant, even righteously? I doubt it. But I'll leave you wrestle with me later on that one. His opponents are already convicted. They are convicted by his humane, shall we say, even divine, God-man treatment of the woman bent double. And by his pointing out that his opponents behave humanely even to their animals on the Sabbath. But what we know for sure is that Jesus has appeared under a new compulsion, if you will, a new rule, a new order, a new ought, to use that word. And it's this simple little preposition, perhaps dei, delta epsilon iota. Ought not this woman, who is a child of Abraham and Sarah, more explicitly, who is a child of God, be set free from the bondage of Satan and restored to the community? That is the gospel message right there for her, for you, for each of you. What is your bondage? What binds you? What constricts you in fear or loss? Jesus' touch of the promise of life and forgiveness transforms us all. You are free because the hand of God's care is upon you. God came for the woman bent double. Jesus came for you. And Jesus is not deterred from that mission. He's heading straight for Jerusalem, straight for the cross. He is on his way. As I indicated earlier, remember, he said, I must go. I am sent for this. Ought not this woman, ought not you, who are children of God's own creating, be set free from the bondage of sin and Satan? This is Jesus' message to the whole world across the ages. Of course, when he arrives, we know the reaction. The reaction there will mirror the very reaction in this story. Indignance, anger at including all people, all of God's creatures into the community of God. On the cross, Jesus will be with the woman. On the cross, Jesus will be with us in our bondage, setting us free. On the cross, Jesus will suffer. He will be the bearer of all such indignity, anger, and death that the world deals. Are we not all victims and victimizers? But even from the cross, Jesus will not put us to shame. Our actions are sufficient for that. In fact, Jesus on the cross bears our shame, our suffering, our affliction, and will offer instead forgiveness and the promise of new life. Sometimes when you have 9 or 10 pages, you forget one. Jesus offers us the promise of new life, which we believe and trust and know in our hearts begins now, but is an eternal promise. This we believe with everything in our hearts. But again, it begins now with the woman, and we are called to give life to those who are excluded, to those who are not seen, to those who receive the indignity of the world. We are called to take the woman home. We are called to proclaim good news in Jesus' name. Amen.